Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're talking about a little news and feedback. Anthony Mackie is saying that he's going to be taking on his newest film without his friends. So what does that mean? What does it mean? We're gonna dive in. Also, new video game coming out from Marvel, and lots of talk about the good old X-Men 97 premiere. All that right after this.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show, because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, how are you today, my friend?
I mean, tax day. It's never fun. Getting $19 back from the IRS.
Ooh. Pew, pew. Baller.
No baller. Kids, no house. Pew. They don't give me anything.
Well, I'm glad you're getting something back. I always have to pay because they don't take anything ahead of time because of my my weird jobs that I do. So, like, no one's taking out of my paycheck, so I've always had to pay money. End of the year, and that's no fun either.
Yeah, they still take it out of my paycheck, and usually I have to pay. This was the first year in like 2 years we didn't have to pay. It's great.
No, that's good.
Now I'll take $19. The guy was like, H&R Block guy was like taken aback a bit by how excited we were, because last year we owed like $1,300, and I can't even remember why. Yeah. I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah,
but we were like, woo. Yeah.
I've had a few of those, like multiple $1,000 years. I'm like, oh.
I know. So, yeah, it was a while in between because it was just like maybe we would get like $100 or $200 back for whatever. But COVID year, we got like a lot more back. Plus, we were getting all that other money. And and then it just kind of fizzled out in the last 2 years. Was not great. And then this year, at least we didn't know. That's all. At least didn't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, getting into this old Marvel of it all.
PSA, do your taxes. You got a week left or something. No, is it like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, April 15th.
I'm just trying to help the people.
Yeah, do your taxes if that's the thing you do.
Yeah.
We're not giving financial advice here, but do your taxes is probably fair. We got a couple news stories before we get back into talking about X-Men 97. We're going to have a good Ashley's Corner in a minute.
Hope
can't hear wait to hear your takes. But before we do that, the biggest story that I saw, we have a trailer and gameplay footage of, I think it's mostly a trailer of Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra video game coming out in 2025. And it's a video game of Captain America and Black Panther as the key characters running around in like World War II, and it looks awesome. What'd you think?
It looks stunning. And it's, whenever you see like not the gameplay but the in-between cuts on video games, I feel like when you get to the video game, they never actually look as good as, you know, what they look like when they're like, this is what it looks like. This one looks like it's going to be. It looks wild.
Yeah, it looks really cool, and it looks like the two of them, Captain America and Black Panther, it looks like they're really antagonistic, which makes sense, like the sort of imperialism of it all. And I remember, seeing a clip of him talking about the, like how that shield is not yours and stuff like that. Like it's cool because it's like very much we have talked about what if, you know, like if they had a cool representation of how that shield became Captain America's, and would Wakanda come after it, and if that ever happened in the MCU. And this is not an MCU thing, but like it looks really, really badass. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. if you're interested, check it out. Marvel 1943. I will be playing this game. Absolutely.
Are you going to get back to the game segments?
We should. I love playing games, but I never have time. So I always get them and I play like, you know, the first hour. Yeah, I'm still like 2 hours into Spider-Man 2. I keep thinking like, I need to take a day off and enjoy myself playing video games. And that just never happens. Never
do that.
That's
me with books. I'm like 100 pages into like 6 books right now.
Yeah, I did finally finish when Spider-Man 2 came out. Like 2 years late, I finally sat down and finished Spider-Man Miles Morales so mm-hmm. that I could play Spider-Man 2. And then I played an hour of it and haven't picked it up since or whatever, hour or two of it. So
one
dumb.
Day, someday.
One day, someday. My my fiance's nephew came over and he was sitting and he's like, can I play that Spider-Man game? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he played way past where I was. And I was so annoyed because I was like trying to like avert my eyes and hang out with everyone else while he's over there spoiling the game me. I was like, not watching. But every once in a while, I'd catch something and be like, ooh, that looks cool. Not watching.
Like, how do I beat that boss? Not watching.
But this is another one that I will definitely buy and play 2 hours of. Okay, the other story we got going on is Anthony Mackie has a quote, and I'll just read the quote here. He says, "The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I really enjoyed doing that show. I was actually excited to do a second season just so me, Sebastian Stan, can get paid to hang out. Because it's like me, him, and Daniel Bruhl. It's kind of like the perfect storm of happiness. When they decided to go back to the movies, it is what it is, but I don't have my friends anymore. So it kind of dampens it a little bit. Anything I can do to hang out with a dancing Daniel Bruhl makes me very happy."
Interesting. He specifically didn't say Sebastian Stan in the second part.
Yeah. Well, he does say, like,
in the first
part. Like, the reason.
Well, they both have two movies coming out.
You mean they both have movies coming out? Like, one has Thunderbolts
coming.
Yeah. But this seems to me to be confirming that, in a roundabout way, that Bucky will not be in Cap 4.
I think they need to do that. I think he needs to fly this solo. No Falcon pun intended.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, like, the balance between that, because part of me agrees with you completely. I think that, like, he has to stand on his own as the new Captain America and, like, do his thing and not have himself overshadowed by these previous characters that have run the franchise till now. But at the same time, I guess it kind of depends. Is this the movie where he does that, or is this the Passing of the Torch movie where maybe we get some old man Steve time and, like, he's passing the torch to Bucky? I know that Captain America and the Winter Soldier, yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that show, Fatwas, it was a passing of the torch in a way with him stepping up. So, but it's also a TV show. Not as many people have seen it. Like, what are we going to say? A lot of people, the last time they saw Falcon, he was just getting the shield from Cap. And it was like,
right.
Okay,
did
that's
you mean
the
passing
moment.
The torch to Falcon?
Yes.
Or Bucky? Okay, because you said
Falcon.
Passing the torch to Bucky.
Oh,
and it
my
confused
bad.
Me a bit. I was like, I don't think that's what this movie's going to be about.
Yeah, this is where they pass the torch again. No.
Yeah, to somebody else. No.
Sorry, I meant...
Sorry, I got you. I'm just with
Steve,
you.
Steve, okay. if old man Steve's still around passing that torch, like if he's still around as like a advisory role or something, I could definitely see them doing something like that. Even if it's just like a surprise scene we don't know about, you know, until it... I hope if they do that, we don't know about it until it's in the theaters.
Yeah.
I don't
know,
though. Really cool.
I don't know. I think that's still holding on to the past. It's kind of like, sink or swim, but like we're at the point where like he needs to be able to lead a Captain America movie. And I'm here for it. Like, I'll be front row, you know, waving my little Captain America flag. And I want to see him do it. But I think that they really should lean into it and write it well and make it, you know, a new Captain America movie and standalone.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think so, too. And like, yeah, I'm all for it.
I think you could do it.
Yeah. It weirdly reminds me a little bit of like Creed, the Creed movies. You had three.
I thought you meant the band. I was like, what?
Yeah. It reminds me of that Creed guy from, yeah.
Can you take me higher? Anymore and we get sued.
Anymore and we get sued. Guitar part. Yeah. so yes, it reminds me of that, like Creed, the Apollo Creed movies, Adonis Creed, I'm sorry. Like Rocky's in like the first three of those, you know, or
right.
Three or four, two or three. I think he's in the first two and the newest one's the third one and he's not in that one. And it's like, when have you effectively passed that torch and when can you leave behind the old characters and stand on your own and mm-hmm. Not lose the audience that you have? Because I do think that there's still some people just aren't used to Sam Wilson, Captain America yet. People right. who didn't watch that show, you know?
Well, how many times though can you show him passing the torch? Because I mean, we had him do it at the end of Endgame and then uh-huh. all of Falcon and Winter Soldier was literally a whole show about the
right.
torch being midway passed.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he shows up in his little outfit, and then we have fully passed the torch. But, like, are we going to tell that story again?
I guess for me, like, a good balance would be something to the effect of you have Sam Wilson being Captain America from the beginning of the movie with no apologies, no nothing, just like, I am Captain America. Here's what we're doing. Some people will be seeing the suit for the first time, but that's no big deal. Like, just go into it. But then maybe
people who didn't see the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like,
there's a huge portion of the audience who the last time they saw this whole thing was just Sam sitting on a bench receiving the shield. You know, mm-hmm. and so like all that of him in New Orleans practicing with the shield and like getting good at it and getting the new suit from Wakanda, all that stuff is like, they didn't see any of that. So it's just
the dirty casuals. I forgot about them. I'm sorry. You got to remind me every once in a while.
Yeah. You got to remember the dirty casuals exist.
I'm in my
By
bubble.
The way, we don't mean that. We don't mean that as a
new listeners. Negative. That is an endearing.
That is an endearing term. It comes from some other podcaster used to use that all the time as like, just like shorthand for like people who don't watch everything. And I enjoy the term dirty casual. It's supposed to be making fun of people who would say that sort of thing. It's not like us
I still kind of am a Star Wars dirty casual. I would say I'm a little bit more invested in than the normal person, but I don't know all the stuff. But I just I've seen all the movies.
There are people that think the people that they don't say that use that word, because I think that word is inherently like dirty casuals. It's inherently like poking fun at the idea.
I'm a trash panda. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Dirty martinis or something. You know, you got to think about the good side.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, we get people write in to us saying we're dirty casuals, like, not using that word, but because we're not as big on the comic side of things, we're an MCU podcast that follows the MCU and focuses on that, so, like, they're like, you don't know everything about comics? What are you doing? You know, it's like, finding that balance. Everybody has somebody they can point to and think they're a little, they know more of the content than this other person, and it's all silly.
So, all silly.
All silliness. But yeah, so there are dirty casuals out there who like just saw Endgame and haven't seen this guy since, and then they're gonna be like, "What is this all about?" So I think finishing what I was saying, I think the balance for me would be, him being Captain America, and you have that sort of like reach your low point sort of moment in the movie where he's trying to figure out what he needs to do next or whatever, and mm-hmm. then he like meets Steve Rogers in a park or something, you know, like, and they're like, or Steve Rogers finds him, old man Cap, just like
I'll
finds
take a
him
phone
and,
call.
Yeah, anything, any sort of like little like clue that he's still out there in the world, living his best life, and kind of just gives Sam some encouraging words. Like, it'd be nice to have that little bitty connection to the past without him overdriving the movie, you know, just like the mentor figure, you know. Mm-hmm. Not be mm-hmm. the hero of the movie, but just be a mentor.
Well, and it is hard because all these new characters now don't really have mentor characters to look up to the way that, say, the original six had their Nick Fury, even though, you know, when they didn't trust him or whatever, and you had, you know, Spider-Man had Tony, and everybody kind of had someone to talk to, and everybody now is just kind of out in the wild and alone. They haven't really found each other even yet.
Right. That's the thing, is like, I don't know about mentor figures, if we've really had a lot of that, really, because everybody is, this was all kind of the first generation of heroes.
Doctor Strange is gone.
Right.
They could talk to Bruce, I guess.
But we don't really know where Doctor Strange, we know Doctor Strange took off, but we don't know if he's gone like long term or if he's just,
he's, you know, just not there now.
He's not there all at the moment.
I would go to him just like Spider-Man. I'm like, oh my God, that's such a good idea. He can kind of fix everything.
Yeah. So,
but he's gone.
I think this setup sort of confirms what we, I think we both are saying we want, which is a solo Captain America focused movie.
Yeah. With, before an Avengers movie. Yes, please.
Yeah. Give me Sam Wilson, like really like living as Captain America in a movie. And I'm down with that, but we'll see if they have any kind of cameos in there.
I could take a couple.
Yeah. It sounds like we will likely not get it. I mean, he's saying hang out with Sebastian Stan. So it's possible that even though this says, like, this seems to be saying he's not in the movie, it's possible Bucky has a scene, but he's just not like a like predominant player in the movie.
Yeah, you know? Or something. I'll take an email. Anything. Just talk to each other.
Well, so Ashley, you have seen X-Men 97. Me and Jeff had a couple episodes where we talked about it. What did you think? What's your Ashley? Give us an Ashley's Corner.
I really did like it. I did. I really like that Magneto is kind of in forefront. He's always been my favorite. And he's just got so much style. And to me, there's no better power than his. I mean, we've gone over, I would do horrible things if I had his power. But he's always kind of kept it in balance. You know, not really. But whatever. I feel like they hardly showed his powers in the original show. So I appreciate like that off the bat that here we're seeing like he is super, super powerful. I love that the Sentinels called Storm an Omega threat. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I loved it. And like seeing Morph jump in and out of different characters, like actually using their powers is really fun.
Yeah, that was wild.
What's crazy is just before the show aired, I was talking to Haley about some of my favorite comic moments with Rogue. And I was like, I love that she has this relationship in the comics randomly with Magneto. More specifically, I was talking about her relationship with his clone, Joseph, and I was like, it was just nice. They could touch each other. But in Age of Apocalypse, Charles Xavier either is killed as a child or something, and I can't remember what it is, but Magneto has to start the X-Men, and they're actually married in that one, and I believe they have children. But I've always loved their relationship because, honestly, with Rogue, wouldn't you always be like, give me one of those necklaces? Like, she's always like, God, I can't touch anybody. It's so sad. I'm like, get one of those necklaces, the power dampening necklaces.
Yeah, that's
just
a good idea.
Just get one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, it makes you vulnerable.
Can somebody pick one of those up for me?
It does like make you inherently vulnerable in those moments, of course, but it allows you to be, you know, intimate and vulnerable with people too, though. And like, that's what, if that's what you're looking for, that's a good idea. I don't know why they've never explored that.
But next best thing is Magneto, so looking like a double stuffed Oreo snack also. And I love that they had him in the same outfit, like the M. It was Magneto. It was the same costume he wore for his trial issues in Uncanny X-Men series. So I love that. Yeah, no, I like it. And I like that Gambit's onto them. I'm like, we have drama, suspense, action. It feels very similar.
It really does.
Sounds good, you know, Haley had to be like, no, the Rogue chick is the same chick. I go, oh, no.
Oh, age, really?
You know, what can you do? You can't still have that twine because you can't replace her because nobody could ever do the Rogue voice from the original series. So you just have her do it now. And I mean, she doesn't sound exactly the same, but it's still her. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah. It's neat that they've got some of the same people. That's really cool. I one that I did not remember, like we didn't talk about it on the cast. One that I like really appreciated after rewatching the first few episodes in the first season, and then watching this, Morph and his laugh, it's so silly and so good. And like when he comes in as Charles, like I just loved that scene. And then when he cuts it off,
yes, little monster. I love. It's fun though. I like what they're doing. The animation looks really nice. Mm-hmm. I'm upset about Storm. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I don't know how. Like, if that can't be an ending for her story, I feel like
no, they better not be.
But figure it out. Yeah, we just don't. I don't know when that will come full circle. I mean, I feel like her losing her powers was the big inciting incident of like, you know, the big freak out in this episode. So like, it's important, and I want it to have those stakes and have that weight to it, but I don't want that to be the end of her story. Even if she doesn't get her powers back, I want her to like find some peace and resolution, because it was just so sad seeing her get on that bus and be like,
sad.
We have no connection anymore.
Pissed.
Yeah.
But I can't believe he like held it together. Everyone's like, in Charles's memory. I'm like, damn, okay. You're doing all the things that you never did in any of the comics, so let's go.
Yeah. Well, you're You watched the entire series. Was there anything that you noticed with these first two episodes that, like, after watching the entire series, it was a cool, strong connection to that maybe other people wouldn't have noticed?
That it's more that they changed something pretty drastic. At the end of the series, Charles isn't killed. He's taken. I can't exactly remember what happens, but he gets shot or something or sick. And Lalandra comes down with the Shi'ar Empire and they take him away. So he's not killed or assassinated. So that's kind of a major change. Spoilers. Yeah. Sorry, everybody, if you didn't watch.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We've talked about that on the cast before. The fact that that was in the trailer, it seemed like that's the way they were going, saying he was killed, even though in the show he was not. So
right.
I'm curious if that's going to come into play at some point. I mean, it could be that he went off with them and then died in space. You know, like he went off and we just never found
out. But weren't they saying he was this? I guess that was Gyrick who did it to him anyway, and they were pretending. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, sure.
That's the possibility. Or it's possible that they've had to say he's dead because he's off on some top secret space mission or top secret space recovery, and then he'll come back. Or and you know, with his power set being as OP as he is, like his consciousness could be rattling around.
Especially Magneto, like he's dead, dead. So we'll see. That's fine, to be honest. This is a fun storyline.
Yeah. Well, and that's what made me wonder if like the X-Men know something Magneto doesn't, possibly. Like they know about that. I didn't watch that last episode.
He was
episode.
There, yeah, he knew about it.
Okay, so he was there and knew about it. So yeah, it is weird that he is allowing himself to be changed by this.
Yeah, because you wouldn't take his money and stuff if you're like, oh, he's not actually dead. And you all in the room know he's not dead. That deed doesn't mean anything because we all know he's not dead.
Right. So it seems like he has to be actually dead for this story to make any sense. So, yeah, my only thought is maybe he went off with the Lady of the Shi'ar Empire or whatever, and then, like, whatever they tried to do to make him recover didn't work. Because they also say it's been 6 months or so, I think since all that happened. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Oh, man. Okay, well, we got some people who wrote in, and it's all pretty much about the X-Men 97 series this week, of course, because everybody's pretty pumped about it. KT Lisbeth, one of our patrons, said, quoting us, he's the master of magnetism, if you know what I mean. that one got me laughing out loud on the bus to work. Also, is Rogue and Magneto's age gap old enough to drink? Which I think was a
no judgment
quote from that was a quote from you about somebody else a few weeks ago, I believe. It's funny. On a more serious note, I really admire that you guys did not shy away from talking about how this show and the X-Men comics throughout Marvel history address bigotry. As an Asian American adopted by a white family, transracial adoptee, I've had to think about how others perceive me racially, as well as how I think about race being raised by a white family while not looking like them. Discussing how the X-Men addresses these similar issues will help other people start or continue questions about what it means to fit and include others in society. You guys don't have to go to NPR levels discussing it, but calling out bigotry is the right thing to do. With hosting the greatest Marvel podcast comes really great chance for advocacy. Well, thank you, KT. That means a lot for real. And yeah, I am brand new to this, so I don't have the experience that KT has, and I'm from coming at it from a different angle, but I'm raising my niece who is interracial herself, and so like there's weird stuff that comes along with that, you know. You get different looks and stuff. You get different like people treat us differently, and they see or the connection between us differently, and it's a thing, man.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I'm brand new to it, and since we've been homeschooling mostly, like we haven't dealt with the outside world much, but like when we do, it's it feels that way.
It's a weird thing. You should watch, is she watching the original show with you? Should have her watch it with you, because I honestly feel like I'm not an asshole because I watched that show and I didn't really realize that until I watched it again. And as an adult, I'm like, wait a minute, is this why I'm not a, you know, POS?
Yeah.
You grow up in towns overwhelmingly white and, you know, what are you going to do? You know, and then a show like this comes along and you just kind of get it. And I'm like, oh, don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Don't be a jerk. People are different and that's okay. And like, we got to work to like include people in society who don't fit whatever the hegemony is, you know, whatever the norm, whatever you think the norm is, that's your construct. Like people are different and that doesn't make them any less valuable or less to be considered in anything, like, or to be feared just because they're different. And I love that they're going, like, I've talked a lot about it. I think we talked about it a little bit on the podcast and I think that's what KT's talking about, but also just like really, they're really going in on like the white replacement rhetoric of these friends of humanity.
Yeah.
Like it's directly that stuff, you know, like it is not, they're not hiding the fact that they're making this direct comparison. And like, I love it. I love it. I love that they're like making it difficult and making it real. Sometimes handling these sorts of, issues through allegory, as this show does and as many sci-fi and fictional shows do, like it's obviously a powerful way to attack it and to look at it and to be able to subversively discuss things, but sometimes you get so obscured by the allegory that you're not really making the connections. And some people like it better that way because it's escapism, or it's don't put politics in my cartoon, that sort of stuff. But like I really, really like that this show is showcasing the point of views and showing that they are bigotry and the effects that it can have on others. I mean, like, it's a really, like, there's so many great moments in this. Like, the idea that they wouldn't accept Jean Grey in the hospital. Like, that's, what in the world, you know?
Side note, Rogue, that is not Rogue's powers. I don't know what the heck they were doing there. Rogue, you can't touch someone and be like, oh, I'm a doctor now. It's not the Matrix. I don't ever remember. I mean, right in if I'm wrong, but I would put all my money on black and risk my child, you know, if I had a kid, his college fund. That's not how Rogue's powers work. Okay.
Interesting.
She's not Neo. You're not downloading it.
Interesting. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit. I don't know if you heard the episodes, but Jeff mentioned that is something from comics. Where, like, when she touched Carol Danvers back in the day and got her powers, she also got a bunch of her memories.
She always would get people's memories. But, like, I don't know if it would be like, I touched you and now I can deliver a baby immediately.
Yeah. It's interesting.
People's memories would haunt her. Like, that's why her power, it does suck. Like, you know, you would just, after she would touch someone for like days afterwards, their memories would just flood back and she would like freak out, especially if she touched someone like, I don't know, Sinister or any of the big people that she's touched. Like, it would really mess with her and they would have to like treat her for days because she'd be going crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if those things subside too, you know, like if she, obviously they do and she learns to cope with them at least, but I wonder if just like the powers that she absorbs, those memories don't last forever. But I guess maybe the memories of experiencing the memories last forever. So I don't know. That's interesting.
It's weird.
So it happens. It's just, it's definitely an expansion of her power set. If that's not something they've done before, where she just like, I need a skill set touch.
I don't remember it. I mean, if it happened, sure.
it's neat. I think that's kind of cool to give her that extra thing to do. I'm sure if they're establishing it here, it's probably something that they'll use in a later situation as well. I'm guessing
they can set up a maternity ward at the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Extra money all the time. Gotta buy books.
Yeah, man. Troubled teens and lots of troubled teens with teen pregnancies going on at the mansion. Okay. Julian Kiss says, hey, after watching the first two episodes of X-Men 97, I feel like I just had to write in again because I loved them so much. Not only do I think they've massively improved the portrayal of all the characters, but what excites me even more is them digging into the social justice issues of it all. I feel so seen by the queer/minority metaphor of the mutants, so it means a lot to me that they're not holding back. And it's honestly scary how real the bigots attacking the X-Men and Jean being denied health care felt like. Hello? These things need to be talked about more, so I appreciate the series a lot for that, and am super excited for the rest of the show. Thank you for everything. Love you 3000, Julian.
See, I feel like that's something that the original series does do a lot, because the more you watch them, the more they really do smack you in the face with, like, deep social issues. And It's like, this is for 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Like, there's even an episode where, like, Logan finds Jesus with Nightcrawler, and it's wild. You're like, oh, that's right. A little heavy, yeah. X-Men. But yeah, they're and it just shows that they're not, it's not one specific, you can't come in and be like, oh, this is so woke. They'll do your episode. Sit down. You know, like, just wait for it. But I did, like, it makes a lot of sense, and it always has, and that's what the X-Men have always been about. So, you know,
100%, get with it. what I do really like is that I like this. I'm nervous about it, and I'm also excited about it, and I don't know exactly where my feelings are resting. But like, these days politically, I fall pretty hard on one side. On most issues, I'm pretty hard falling to the left these days. It's true. I was always a bit more of a middle of the road guy, but these last few years have pushed me further and further left, and I am now like pretty staunchly that way. But I really appreciate being challenged in those ideas, and particularly in the idea when you're falling middle of the road politically, and like you're kind of dancing in that line, like there's sort of this like, oh, they're all, everybody has a point. When you sort of fall to one side, it can feel good because it feels, you feel secure in what you believe, and you feel like you know what you believe, and you don't feel wishy-washy at all. You feel like this is the, but it can also cause a lot of division, which I think is happening in our country today and even across the world today with people pushing further away from each other because there's not that much mushy middle in them anymore. What I am interested to see and makes me nervous and excited is the way that Cyclops as a leader is struggling with Charles's ideals, like in the face of this level of bigotry, which it's sort of the thing we are all facing in the real world. In the face of this level of bigotry, how do you coexist? You know? Mm-hmm. And like, there's the Magneto of it all. And he's just like, I'm not going to kill you because it would break the rules, but I'm also not going to let you hurt us. And I'm going to point out that you're terrible people. He calls them terrible things as he's like throwing Executioner up against that metal coin or whatever. Like
they deserved it.
Yeah, he totally deserves it. But there's this contempt for Magneto has.
Yeah, that I think, yeah.
Even though he's trying to follow Charles's rules, Charles never had that contempt. Right. And I think Cyclops, the actual successor to Charles's ideals, is struggling with like, there's a really interesting moment when one of the guys is talking to Cyclops and saying like, you know, tolerance is extinction. Like we can't tolerate this. Like we have to, which is such a, that line is ripped from headlines. Like it's so good.
Yeah.
But in that moment, it shows through the ruby visor, it shows like Cyclops' eyes. And I just get a real sense of like Cyclops is searching for an answer because he's like, in the face of this bigotry, how do I reach across and share a world with you?
Yeah, it gets to a point where you can't.
Well, that's the question. And that's the Charles Xavier ideal is that we have to live on this world together. We have to find peace together.
You have to meet in the middle.
Or at least find a way to coexist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in a world with its push to this extreme, how do you coexist? And it's like literally challenging to think about because yeah. in so many times when I'm these days, like thinking about politics and policies and things that I support, I'm just like, no, we just have to beat them, you know? We just have to win. Like, we have to win. We have to do the thing. Yeah, and it's like, no, we have to coexist. We have to figure out a way. But like, yeah, it's tough though. It's like real tough.
It is tough.
So yeah, I'm interested to see what the show is eventually going to say. Cause I could see Cyclops like being pushed to the point that he is turning the page to be more like Magneto, you know, or I could see the point where like he tries to hold on to their middle of the ground stance and it like causes issues because that's not a thing he can do anymore in the face of the, you know, it's just
that
crazy.
Has happened time and time and time and again where, you know, people are put in danger or problems because he refused to let down just following the rules. It's very Cap like, but it's even, I don't know, Cyclops I would say is a little bit more than Cap.
Yeah.
I feel like we should, the last feedback is asking about this stuff.
Oh, okay.
Or the second to last one.
Okay, well, let's read these next two. Caleb Shelby. Oh, my mistress of the elements. my panda family, this show is off to a great start. I will confess, I was not a big X-Men fan back when this show was airing on TV. Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
Yes.
How dare you say this about your mistress of the elements?
Right?
Sorry. But continuing. But I do remember watching a few episodes here and there. These first two episodes of X-Men 97 makes me want to go back and watch the OG episodes. The animation, particularly during the fight scenes, are top tier.
Well, they're a little different from the, you know, it's about like 20 years, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's big difference in the style. Big difference. In episode 2, when Cyclops is getting sucker punched again and again, it reminded me of Invincible. Sorry, it reminded me of Invincible and their fighting sequences. Hashtag brutal. Hmm. Also, let me take a moment to appreciate Magneto for his hair, his suit, and his character. I am intrigued about his character development throughout the season. I have an X-string theory. I believe in the last episode, we will get some type of segue into the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. Maybe something as simple as Wolverine saying, a problem has come up. I need to talk with Deadpool. With the screen cutting to black. He is going to be wearing the classic yellow suit in the movies. It could be the same Wolverine from the animated series. What do you guys think? Thanks for the content. Happy early 1,000 episodes. You guys are my jam, J-A-M, Caleb Shelby. Thanks, Caleb.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. I definitely think it's possible. I definitely think that it is possible that the movie is going to reference this. Whether this actually references the movies and how strongly that happens is yet to be seen. I think it'd be a good move for them. I think a lot more people would come watch this series if... in a post-credit sequence, you see a live-action Ryan Reynolds Deadpool talking to a cartoon Wolverine. Like, that would get a lot of people to go watch this thing.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be. I like that as a string theory. I have an X-string theory.
Okay.
What if Magneto's faking it? I asked this question on our cast, but who is the benefactor who's paying the Friends of Humanity $10,000 a mutant? You know?
Oh.
And sending...
Sinister, maybe?
Well, we talked about possible Sinister, but now I'm wondering, what if it's Magneto? What if Magneto, now with all of Charles's money and resources, is using the Friends of Humanity, telling them he's I'm using them for target practice, but actually he's using the Friends of Humanity to round up mutants and get them to Genosha where they'll be safe? Or something like that.
Right. But then come back and take over Earth?
Maybe, or maybe just Slay. Like, it would be interesting if he's like doing all of this in public to get a good public face, but then we find out he's really like working behind the scenes and doing bad things, whatever. I don't know. It's
well, if they're going to Genosha, that's not the worst thing, right? Like, or he's kidnapping them to Genosha.
Well, it would seem like he's kidnapping them to Genosha.
Okay, that's
so
not
that's
good.
Not good. Like Roberto, he was kidnapped and he's going to be taken. And we don't know it's to Genosha. I was just speculating because we know what he did with the Morlocks. So I'm just wondering, like, those both happened in the first two episodes. We know he like carted the Morlocks off to Genosha for safekeeping? What if he's doing that with other mutants, using the Friends of Humanity as like a back door? Like, he's occupying the Friends of Humanity to like keep them busy and not letting them attack mutants, because he's like, hey, yeah, if you keep the mutants alive and bring them to me, you get $10,000, you know?
Oh, it's hard, though, because, I don't know, that's just so against everything Magneto is as Holocaust, you know, I just couldn't see him actually doing
it. True. That's true.
That would go against everything that he is as, you know, his, like, moral compass. But when you push people too far, you never know.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, sometimes when you push people too far, they go against their own, like, the thing that caused their pain. Sometimes that pain loops back around and then they're the villain, you know? I mean, that's his whole thing, kind of. Just a thought. I'm still really curious about who that benefactor is that's getting... I think it's going to be more complicated than just someone who's wanting to hurt mutants. I think the Friends of Humanity are being, like, are some sort of patsies. They're being used probably by someone who either wants to study mutants, save mutants... whatever, do something with mutants. I don't think it's going to be as simple as, you know, they're just rounding them up. Kimberly Snively says, hello, MCU cast. As a lifelong X-Men fan, I'm thrilled about all the love for X-Men 97. I'm most thrilled about the fact that people seem to finally be acknowledging that Cyclops can be a badass. I've been listening to the podcast for over a year, so I am sorry if this has been explained before, but it seems to be a good time to ask. What's the deal with the Cyclops hate? Is X-Men 97 doing anything to make any of you reconsider your feelings towards Scott? As always, thanks for all you do, Kimmy Pike.
No. Absolutely not. But that's the point of Cyclops. Cyclops is supposed to be that Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, and he just always, like, even if it's wrong, if Charles says to do something, and Charles, 89% of the time, was wrong about his intentions and plans, but if he said to do it, even if Scott questioned him in front of the team, he wouldn't question them, and he would kind of push them to go. It's kind of like the Dark Phoenix movie. They don't, he's too young to have done it, but like if Charles was like, you need to go up there and save those astronauts, Scott would have been like, yeah, get on there. What are we waiting for? X-Men, let's go. We don't ask questions. We're the X-Men. Bruh. You know, even though the side, he'd be like, Charles, are you sure that this is a really good idea? Because I'm kind of worried that we're all going to die. And he's like, no. I said to get on the plane. Get on there. I'll be out there in a second. Charles, are you sure we're going to be okay? Okay. You think so? Okay. And that's Cyclops. And it's a fun character because of how he butts head with everybody else, but he's technically the leader of the X-Men.
Right. Well, it's, and I think now, so to answer Kimmy's first question, I think it's a lot of the Scott hate comes from the 90s and the 2000s. And it's like Cyclops is just kind of a tool, particularly in those,
He's your first bro.
Yeah, they just make fun of him so good in those X-Men movies. And you've got him going against Wolverine, who is so charismatic and fun and cool. And then you've got the Boy Scout. It's sort of the same dynamic as, loosely, like a Iron Man and a Captain America, where Iron Man's the loose, cool one, and Captain America is like the staunch Boy Scout. And like they do a better job in the movies in MCU of like balancing Captain America and making him like really relatable and cool. Because I think Cyclops is sort of always just doing Charles's bidding. It's hard to see. He's always doing Charles's bidding, and he's always like sort of getting in and out of relationships that sort of like, I don't know, seem to compromise him in a way that makes him sort of like lame. I don't know.
He does always get the girl.
Right. Yes. And in the comics, I think like, I've heard analysis of people talk about, like, in the comics, he is way more impressive as a tactician. Like, he is Captain America levels brilliant when it comes to tactician stuff.
I don't think any of the hate comes, like, and when she's saying he's a badass, I think everybody knows that Cyclops is a badass. His power, as much as it sucks, is awesome. He's very, like, capable and able. I think the hate for him just comes from, like, his attitude kind of stuff, but.
Right. I think that's true, but I think in the movies and in the cartoon even, they do a less good job, except for these two episodes, they do a less good job of displaying how much of a bad as he is.
I think you need to watch the original again, because I didn't realize my rewatch, most of the story is about Cyclops. And I was like, I didn't know he was the star of the animated series, but it does feel like that. Wait till you watch it.
Okay,
so he's there's many episodes that are like him alone.
Right.
He's dealing with shit.
He's the leader of the X-Men, and it's very much his story. And I like that this one is going to be his story. And I think like it makes him a much more compelling character, since he is always the guy who follows Charles's lead and believes in Charles above all. It's really interesting to see him in a world without Charles, and like who is he now? And now we're going to get something going on with these two Jean Greys, and
one for Wolvie, one for Scott. I mean, what's the problem? To each their own now.
Oh, man.
I wonder if it's going to be like a Madeline Pryor. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what the people are thinking. But I don't know. No, I've intentionally not learned too much about that storyline.
Oh, I won't say anything.
But I do know that it exists. Jeff's mentioned it. But yeah, I think the Cyclops hate is a little overblown.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's just him, people picking Wolverine over him. Like, if you're going to, Wolverine's the cool outsider, but Cyclops is like the guy that actually gets stuff done in a lot of ways. Like, Cyclops is great in a fight.
He's the D&D, you know, he's the DD. Drives you to, the DD. Did I say D&D?
You did. You know. Was like, you mean like the Dungeon Master? Like, I could see that.
Well, yeah, he'd probably be the control freak.
Exactly.
Like, I have to be the Dungeon Master.
If you were in a room with your friends, Cyclops would be the Dungeon Master. I mean, Beast would probably be the Dungeon Master. But like,
that's true. He's a mansplainer.
Of the two of them, Cyclops would be like the one, like, I'm going to make the team great. And like, if you're playing D&D with him, he would be like the one like coordinating everyone. And Wolverine would be the one who like just does the flashy thing that gets him all the glory and like does what he wants
wild
to do.
Card.
Yeah. He's the wild card. And it's fun to watch the wild card. So I think there's a lot of like just comparing the two of them. Wolverine's cooler. And so like, you just like, at least on that metric.
He's cooler.
Yeah, he's cooler.
Logan.
He's the bad guy. He's the bad boy.
I mean, I would even say that Scott's brother's cooler. I love Havoc. I love Alex Summers. He's a great character.
Yeah.
He's like wild card Scott Summers. He's like what do they always call him in the comics? I can't remember, but it's like a Boy Scout. You Boy Scout.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's perfect. He's a Boy Scout.
I do have a question for you about the original series. So Cable, Nathan Summers, was born in this episode.
Is that a spoiler?
Is it?
Did they actually say it?
They said Nathan Summers. They didn't say Cable. That's what I was going to ask you.
Okay, well, if you know who Cable is, then it's not but if you don't know.
That's what I'm asking. Cable was in the original series.
Yeah. Nobody calls him Nathan Summers.
Oh, so they may not know he's...
They allude to it in one episode, but he might know, but they don't know.
Okay.
The X-Men wouldn't know.
Okay, so it's okay that we know that now.
Yes,
but like,
it's okay.
I was just curious if... do they remember Cable? I guess was my first question.
They would, yeah.
Okay, because I know with time travel stories, sometimes you end up erasing everything, and like, I didn't know for sure if they remembered Cable's trips back through time.
Bishop's was the one that would kind of erase thing. Cable's, they remembered him. Because he pops in once or twice.
Okay, cool. All right, well, That's it. That's where we got.
It's good.
I'm excited. This series is shaping up in a way that it's exciting me more than I expected it to. I'm really pumped to watch more, and like, I'm glad everybody's out there enjoying it and writing in about it and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I do want to mention, and I need to do this up top next time, but April 2nd, we are doing the one-year anniversary show for Multiverse News. So please join us. We're going to go live on YouTube, youtube.com/strandedpanda. Go over there or search Stranded Panda on YouTube. Find us. We're going to go live. It's our one-year anniversary, so we're going to do a bit of a party, and we're going to do some hangouts afterwards, do a Zoom party and all that stuff. So anybody, please come join us. It's exciting. Doing this show for a year, and we're really, really enjoying it. So if you're into, geeky stuff, like you clearly are, if you've made it this far into this podcast, come join us. We talk about geeky stuff every week, the news about all the fictional universes you love. Multiverse News and youtube.com/strandedpanda. And I believe it's going to be 7 Central, so 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on April 2nd on YouTube. And we'll be posting about it in the Facebook groups, and we'll be posting about it in the email list and all that stuff. So we'll let you know soon what the details. We're also going to be giving away prizes and stuff. So, like, we're just going to be giving away hundreds of dollars in prizes, I think the poster says. So come check it out. It's going to be fun. Anything you want to tell the people about, Ash?
I guess, Bingers, we just finished up all the Dune stuff, so we talked about David Lynch's, so you can go check that out on Bingers Assemble.
Awesome. I've heard really good things about that coverage. People have been saying how much fun it was. I haven't seen any of it yet. I've seen the first Dune, Denis Villeneuve Dune, but I haven't seen the old one or the sequel yet, so I haven't listened to any of the
coverage
yet.
Hours of TV.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go see. Everyone's saying how awesome Dune 2 is, and I just can't wait.
It is really cool. It's an experience.
Yeah, I feel bad that I haven't had time, but I'm going to make it. Hopefully this week. It's so sad. It's on my to-do list to watch the first Dune so that I can schedule going to see the second one.
You have things going on. You're fine.
Yeah, I know.
You're fine.
I know.
The sandworms will be there.
Sandworms will be there when you need them. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back soon, at least with the X-Men 97 episode this week, maybe another episode. So keep an eye at the feed. We'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3,000, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.